Well, our heart goes out to the victims of an apparent plane crash ng Malaysian Airlines with more than 200 in the passengers and crew. Hindi pa natatagpuan yung plane, and imagine the agony of the relatives, and they are even now being shown in media yung kanilang pagtangis sa mga kamag-anak nilang lula ng eroplano. And this is one of the things that uncertainty gives us agony kapag hindi natin alam ang isang napakahalagang bagay na gusto nating malaman. And important as these things are, mga bagay na may kinalaman sa trahedya, ang pinakamahalaga ay ang bagay na may kinalaman sa ating kaligtasan. Malalaman ba natin, napakaganda ng ating inawit, in the midst of many things, we say, I know not, but the refrain says, but I know whom I have believed. At sa pag-aaral natin ngayong umaga, dito natin makikita yung katotohanan na ang katiyakan ng kaligtasan ay malalaman natin, maari nating malaman at dapat nating malaman sapagkat ito ay nakabatay sa hindi kung anong nararamdaman natin, kundi nakabatay pinakaultimo sa kung sino ang ating Panginoong Hesukristo. But the need to know is something basic to all of us. And especially, we want to know the future, if possible, to control the future. At kung hindi man natin makontrol, we want to predict the future. May mga posibilidad ba na ma-predict natin kung ano ang mangyayari? Well, because of this need for knowing the future is the reason why many occults are prospering, dahil handang magbayad ang marami para sa iba't ibang usapin ng... So, balik tayo sa katanungan, can we be sure of salvation? At gaya ng aking sinabi, because of this need by man to predict the future, kumikita ang marami mga occult, kagaya ng fortune telling, yung bantog na crystal ball, kung mahulaan yung future, handa silang magbayad at marami ang nandaraya lang dyan. Yung iba naman, mayroon silang mysterious power to apparently know the future through occult means, and yet the Bible tells us very clearly na hindi tayo dapat makilahok sa mga ganyang gawain. Pinagbawal yan sa mga Israelita nung sila'y papasok pa lang sa lupang pangako. Huwag kayong gumamit ng mga paraan ng mga okulto, fortune telling and other means of telling the future. Isang bagay ito na hindi para sa atin. Pero nananatili yung ating katanungan, ano ba, ako ba'y ligtas o hindi ligtas? At maaaring nasa ganyang kang kalagitnaan na nasa katanungan kung ikaw ay ligtas o hindi, malalaman ba? Nakita natin noong nakaraan na ang paniwala ng marami pagdating sa kaligtasan na pangwalang hanggan, yan ay walang katiyakan. So many hold to the idea that salvation belongs to the realm of the uncertain. Tinignan natin noong nakaraan, dalawang hanay ang ganyan ang paniniwala sa mga hindi interesado sa kaligtasan, wala silang pakialam, matitiyak man yan o hindi. It is uncertain, nabibilang dyan yung mga tinatawag nating skeptics, yung ayaw ng anumang paniniwala. Yet, as we have said, they are in self-contradiction dahil ayaw nila ng paniniwala, paniwalang paniwala sila sa kanilang posisyon. Andyan din ang agnostic, para sa kanila, hindi maaring malaman. Pero again, the self-contradiction ay alam nila na hindi maaring malaman. So, anyone rejecting the proposition truth of Scripture is going to be involved in some form of self-contradiction. Ang kalawang uri naman na para sa kanila walang katiyakan ay yung mga interesado sa kaligtasan pero sa kanila hindi matiyak sapagkat ang posisyon nila ay legalist or moralist. Yung kaligtasan para sa kanila ay sa paraan ng mabubuting gawa. Kapag yan ang iyong posisyon, syempre kailangan mo munang tapusin ang buhay mo para matimbang kung sapat ba ang nagawa mong mabuti. At kung ganyan ang iyong paniniwala, wala kang katiyakan. At ang iba naman, yung sinasabing open-ended faith, pinapaubaya na lang nila sa Diyos yung bahala na attitude. At sa nakita natin ay hindi ganyan din ang posisyon sa salita ng Diyos. The position of the Scriptures is that it is exclusivist as far as salvation is concerned. So dumako tayo ngayon sa mga naniniwala na ito ay maaring matiyak. At ang mapapansin ninyo, ang mga humahawak sa katiyakan ng kaligtasan ay nabibilang sa mga tinatawag natin na the evangelicals. And what is an evangelical? Yung root word yan, evangel, syempre yan ang mga naniniwala, sa Ebanghelyo. Yung mga naniniwalang may katiyakan pero hindi evangelical, karamihan sa kanilang mga kulto na may sari-saring pagtuturo na taliwas sa salita ng Diyos, kagaya ng Iglesia ni Cristo na centennial nila ngayong taon, kaya maghanda kayo sa traffic sa July. Grabe yan. Pero dahil sa paniniwala nilang ang kaligtasan ay sa simbahan, eh, may katiyakan sila, pero maling katiyakan, palsong katiyakan, dahil hindi nakabatay sa Ebanghelyo. Kaya yung mga heretics or cults, yung mga non-evangelical Christian groups predominantly reject assurance of salvation. Kaya dalawang katanungan ang tingnan natin sa umagang ito. Ang unang katanungan, is it possible for Christians to have assurance of salvation? Posible ba ng isang Kristiyano ay magkaroon ng katiyakan ng kaligtasan? Tingnan natin ito sa Biblia at makikita natin na sa Biblia may mga talatang umaangkin ng kaligtasan. Ibig sabihin na umaangkin, ngayon pa lang, tiyak na nila. Hindi ito katiyakang baka sakali. Ang sinasabi nila, ngayon pa lang, tiyak na nila. Halimbawa, isang pangungusap, yung sabihin natin, asserted, Romans 5:1 and 2, since we have been justified. So alam na nila, inaringganap na, pinawalang sala na, ngayon pa lamang, we have peace with God. Again, in terms of reconciliation with God, ngayon pa lang masasabi nila. And then through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Sa pangungusap na yan, makikita ninyo na it is an assertion. Kumbaga, pag-aangkin na totoo na ito ngayon, hindi baka sakali. Ngayon, nasabi na ni Pablo para sa mga nakay Kristo, ito na ang mayroon tayo. Nariyan din ang 1 John 3:2, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him because we shall see Him as He is. Take note again, it is an assertion. Ngayon, anak na tayo ng Diyos, hindi baka sakali, kundi ngayon ay naniniwala, alam na natin na kapag dumating siya, future, pero ngayon pa lang alam na natin na kung mangyari na yung future, we shall be like Him. And that is a statement of assurance. And I wonder if you can make the same statement for yourself because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pero hindi lamang ito sa mga assertion, makikita natin na sa salita ng Diyos, ito rin ay hinamon, exhorted. So on the one hand, asserted. On the other hand, exhorted. Ibig sabihin, hinahamon tayo. Kung tayo mananampalataya, siguruhin mo. 2 Peter 1:10, make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And what follows, kung sundan natin yan, ay mga sari-saring, mga pagpapalang biyaya ang matatamo natin dahil tayo nagkaroon ng katiyakan. Kaya kung pagsamahin natin yan, ay merong inangkin, assertion, merong panghamon, exhortation, which leads to the conclusion na assurance is really possible. Mangyayari, maaring mangyari. The possibility of assurance now derives from what Christ has accomplished. Kung tingnan nyo yung ating inawit, I know not many things, pati yung the Spirit moves, when Christ will come, there are many things we do not know, yet the refrain shows where knowing is based upon. I know whom I have believed. Ang pangunahing punto ng assurance, katiyakan, ay dahil sa kung sino si Jesucristo. May nangyari. Yung tinatawag na the great exchange, nagpalitan. Ang palitan na yan, yung kasalanang katayuan natin, ibinilang kay Jesucristo. Yung katuwiran na nakay Jesucristo, ibinilang sa atin. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin. Hindi po ibig sabihin na siya ay nagkasala, kundi tumayo siya sa katayuan ng kasalanan on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of Christ in Him. In the same way, hindi rin ibig sabihin na tayo ay righteous sa sarili natin, kundi yung righteousness natin ay kung ano yung nakay Kristo ibinilang sa atin. Kaya yung katiyakang sinasabi natin ay dahil sa kung ano ang ginawa ng Panginoong Jesucristo. At isa sa pinakamagandang pangungusap niyan, kung binabasa niyo yung aking blog, basahin niyo ulit, mag-subscribe kayo. Pero sa blog, my latest entry, may sinabi ako na pinakamagandang talata sa puntong ito, ang naniniwala ako kay Romans 3, 24 to 26. Let me just cite the underscored portion. In his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins, then to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Pansin ninyo yung dalawang time frame dyan. Former sins. So merong former. And then dito, at the present time. So merong cut-off point. Merong former, merong at the present time. The cut-off point is nothing else but the cross. So the cross as turning point means there was before the cross and there was since the cross. May mga ganyang pangyayari sa history na turning point. Kapag sinabi natin turning point, we can look at that event as something there was before that event and there was something since that event. 9/11, for example. May masasabi tayong before 9/11, since 9/11. Or before people power, since people power. Pareho pa rin. Pero yung turning point sa Panginoong Hesukristo, this is the most massive turning point in history. Nothing like it. Why? Anong nangyari dyan? Before the cross, bakit hindi nahahatulan ang kasalanan kayong makasalanan ng sangkatauhan? Ang paliwanag, God's forbearance, pagtitimpi o pagpapahinuhod, hindi pinarusahan ng Diyos kahit na pwede niyang parusahan na buong katuwiran, buong katarungan, hindi niya pinarusahan. Ang paliwanag before the cross ay nagtimpi ang Diyos. Nagpahinuhod siya. Nagpigil ng kanyang hatol. And then, anong nangyari sa cross? At the cross, when Christ died, nothing less than this was happening. What was supposed to be the judgment of the final day, yung mangyayari pa lang na paghahatol sa kasalanan sa huling araw in advance, in abante, kay Hesukristo. Ibinuhos kay Hesukristo ang poot ng huling araw, si Hesukristo ang tumanggap. Yun po ang gusto kong malaman ninyong nangyayari sa krus. Darating na naman ang mahal na araw, hinudyat na ng Ash Wednesday, last Wednesday, nasa season na sa pananaw ng marami ng Lenten season, at mag-culminate yan sa mga taong magpapasa ng krus, magpapapako pa ang iba sa pag-aakala nila na ito ang paggunita sa kamatayan ni Jesus. Diyan sila maling-mali. Ano man ang ipako nila sa sarili nila, kahit pasibati nila ang sarili nila, hindi nila maduduplicate ang ginawa ni Jesus, sapagkat ang ginawa niya doon ay tinanggap niya ang hatol ng Diyos. Lahat ng ginagawa ng mga namamanata ngayon, pawang walang saysay, nagpapakasakit lang sila at kahit pasabihin natin taimtim sila, walang nangyayaring hatol ng Diyos sa kanila. Ang nangyari kay Hesukristo sa krus ay buong hatol ng Diyos na dapat sa huling araw ibinagsak sa kanya. Kaya ano ang resulta? Since the cross, kaya yan ang turning point. Before the cross and since the cross, meron ang tinawag sa Romans 3, righteousness at the present time. Before, if God showed His righteousness then, He would have judged all sinners. So He passed over. He exercised forbearance. Pero ngayon, He can show righteousness at the present time, but instead of judging sinners by punishment, it says God remains just but can justify sinners who believe in Jesus. God can remain just and yet can acquit sinners. Eh, yan ang nangyari nang dahil sa krus ng Panginoong Hesukristo. At ang karesulta niyan para sa mga mananampalataya, dahil kinuha na ng Panginoon ang hatol, no more wrath. Maliligtas tayo sa galit ng Diyos sa pamamagitan niya. At sinabi sa Roma 8:1, ngayon wala ng kahatulan sa mga nakay Kristo Jesus. Kaya ngayon pa lang, meron na tayong katiyakan about the judgment day. Why? Not because we're prepared of ourselves, but because Jesus took that punishment for us. Kinuha na ng Panginoon, inangkin na niya ang dapat ay para sa atin. Kaya ang nangyari sa Panginoon, kinuha niya ang buong buo. Kaya ang krus ni Jesus ang kinalabasan upang tubusin ang mga nasa ilalim ng kautusan. Tayong mga dapat hatulan ng kautusan, ngunit dahil inangkin ni Jesucristo, kung tayo ay mapalakip kay Jesucristo sa pananampalataya, tinubos na tayo. Ibig sabihin, yung condemnation of the law no longer applies to those who are in Christ. That's why we can be sure. Kung ilagay pa natin sa isang graphic representation, the final judgment wrath, which is supposed to be future on the last day, sa huling araw pa yan, pero dahil sa ginawa ng Panginoon, it was poured on the cross in history, it was advanced on Christ, ang resulta, no more wrath for believers in Christ. Present status na yan. Meron ng katiyakan. At ang resulta, present assurance of salvation, which means we are now certain about the future judgment. Kaya kapag nagsasabi ng katiyakan ng isang Kristiyano, hindi ito pagyayabang kung ano ang kahandaan niya. Hindi ito pagyayabang ng kanyang moralidad, kundi pagsampalataya ito sa ginawa ng Panginoon. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Hanggang sa huling araw ay meron tayong katiyakan ng kaligtasan. Ngayon, ang ikalawang tanong is something more controversial, but we need to answer this. The second question is it possible for Christians to lack assurance of salvation? Ang ibig sabihin niyan, pwede bang isang tunay na Kristiyano, ngunit nagkukulang ng katiyakan o nag-aanilangan pero tunay na Kristiyano siya? Yan ang kasunod nating katanungan. At dito, good theologians differ. In fact, yung pinaka nag-differ dito ay yung dalawang uri sa kasaysayan na tinitingala natin pareho, the Reformers and the Puritans. The Reformers, meaning the 16th century Reformers, Luther, Calvin, dahil ang kanilang konteksto ay controversy against the Catholics, kaya yun ang kanilang iniisip. Kailangan yung tinuturo ng mga Katoliko ay kontrahin natin mula sa salita ng Diyos. Kaya dumating sila sa posisyon na assurance is of the essence of saving faith. Ibig sabihin, kung ikaw ay talagang sumasampalataya, dapat tiyak ka. Ang kinukontra nila dyan ay yung turo ng Catholic doctrine na implicit faith. Ano yung implicit faith? Simply put, mahabang paliwanag, but the simplest way is the church is saying, believe in the church and the church takes care of you. Don't bother about knowing everything that the church teaches. As long as you believe the church takes care of you. Yan ang implicit faith. Ang sinabi ng mga reformers, ang kailangan ng explicit faith. Alam mo, ang iyong pinapaniwalaan, sinasampalatayanan, kaya kung talagang sumampalataya ka kay Jesucristo, dapat ay tiyak ka. Kung hindi ka tiyak, hindi ka pa sumasampalataya kay Jesucristo. Yan ang naging posisyon nila. Kaya ang naging hamon nila, ang magiging assessment ko sa ganyang posisyon ay it is an overstatement. It is theological as polemic against the Catholic doctrine, but it is lacking in pastoral sensitivity. And here I believe the Puritans taught it better. Anong posisyon ng mga Puritans, 17th century Puritans? Ang mga Puritans, marami sa kanila ay sa Church of England, marami rin ang humiwalay sa Church of England. Ang kagustuhan nila ay purity in the church and in the Christian life, sa buhay Kristiyano. Kaya ang naging posisyon nila pagdating sa usapin ng assurance ay dapat gumawa ng pagkakaiba, distinction. Itong hindi nagawa ng reformers. The Puritans were very good in making distinction between first, assurance of the gospel. Pag assurance of the gospel, yung mga katotohanan ng ebanghelyo, yan ang of the essence of faith. Ibig sabihin, kapag sumampalataya ka kay Jesucristo, talagang naniniwala ka na totoo ang ebanghelyo. Hindi mo pinag-aalinlangan ng si Jesucristo mismo. That's the assurance that is of the essence of faith. Assurance of the gospel. They distinguished what is called assurance of faith. Ano yung assurance of faith? Assurance of faith ay nakakasiguro ba ako na ako'y mananampalataya? Pinag-iba nila yan, pwedeng ang isang tao ay sumampalataya kay Jesucristo, tiyak sila na si Jesucristo ay tagapagligtas, ang pinagaanin na nga na nila ay ako ba'y talagang sumasampalataya na? At ito ang sinabi ng mga Puritans, it is possible for a person to really believe in Christ and be saved, and yet he himself doubts whether he has truly believed. And this, sabi ng mga Puritans, ay not of the essence of faith. Pwedeng may saving faith, pero yung believer mismo, nagdududa pa sa kanyang pananampalataya. At yan ang sinasabi natin na maaring mangyari. So without doubting the truth of the gospel, a true Christian may doubt his own faith. But where do we base that on the Bible? Where in the first place, pinag-iiba, pansinin niyo lalo sa 1 John, ang layunin ni John sa pagsusulat ay magbigay ng assurance, pinag-iiba niya yung we know and we know that. Merong we know God, then we know that we know God. Dalawang bagay yun. We know God is salvation. We know that we know is assurance. So a person may know God and yet will lack in knowing that he knows God. Yan ang distinction na ginagawa nila. So again, it did not know him, they're not saved. On the other hand, for our part, we know that. Again, that's assurance. Makikita rin natin na, again, the assurance is we know that. Iba yun sa we know him. We know that is assurance. Now, that is possible to be lacking, and yet the person knows God in salvation. And then again, you may know that you have eternal life. Now, the fact na sinasabi niya, I write these things, which means that John assumes that some of them are lacking in knowing that. So I write these things that you may know that. Not only that, maraming exhortation na mapuspos ng assurance. In the word of confidence, let us then with confidence. In other words, some are lacking in confidence. That's why the exhortation, let us then with confidence. Not only that, may mga exhortation for full assurance. And again, if you are exhorted to full assurance, it means some do not have full assurance. It fluctuates. At paulit-ulit yan, Hebrews 10:22, again, full assurance of faith. Even Paul speaks of the riches of full assurance of understanding. And again, the point is, therefore, it is not something that you can assume is always there. It fluctuates. Then the question is, how then do we attain that full assurance? And here, makikita natin, even Reformed Christians have some nuances of difference pagkumpara natin ang dalawang confession of faith. Westminster is the Presbyterian at merong slight change na ginawa ang 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith. Parehong-pareho yan, except the underscored portion on the right column is the 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith. Parehong-pareho, but may isiningit ang Baptist na infallible assurance of faith founded on the blood and righteousness of Christ revealed in the gospel. So here, makikita natin is the interplay of several factors to attain full assurance. Now remember, we are talking here of full assurance, we're not talking here of saving faith, but assurance of faith. Ano ang mga yon? For assurance of salvation, sa confession of faith ng mga Baptists, kanilang pinakainuna are the merits of Christ. Gospel merits of Christ, priority sa assurance. Again, going back to our song, I know whom I have believed. That is the basis of assurance. Pag hindi mo ito inuna, you will always be on shaky ground. Ang una ay sino si Kristo. There will be times of self-doubt. You come back to who Christ is. Remember the words of John na, beloved, do not sin. But if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Binabalik tayo sa Panginoon. But under the gospel merits of Christ, there will be an interplay of three factors. Now, papakita ko lang ang factors na ito. Ang buong paliwanag gagawin natin sa susunod na dalawang linggo when we discuss some problems of assurance. But the factors necessary for assurance, una, faith in gospel promises. This makes assurance objectively focused. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Romans 8:34. And the answer is, it is Christ who died. So objectively focused, yung mga promises, as many as believed him, to them he gave the right to become, to be called children of God. Again, objectively focused. Kung ano yung promise, kung ano yung nasa salita ng Diyos. But then secondly, there should be evidence of spiritual graces. So here, assurance is subjectively affirmed. Ibig sabihin, kung talagang ligtas ka, may mga bunga ng kaligtasan na kapag wala sa iyo, magduda ka. And that's the point. And there are certain statements of doubt in the New Testament when those who profess to be Christians are drifting away from the truth. Sabi ni Paul sa Galatians, I have doubts about you. Kasi kinukompromiso nilang ebanghelyo. Now you see, this is the problem, and we will see this more next week. This is the problem of formula assurance. Yung formula assurance, basta binagsakan ka ng assurance, ligtas ka na, hindi ka na kondenado, pupunta ka na sa langit kahit anong mangyari. What it does, binigyan ka lang ng formula, it kills or it undermines the dynamic of sometimes we need to doubt. God can use doubts in order to shock us enough to bring us back to where we should be. Ang ginawa ng formula assurance, tinanggal yan. Kaya kailangan natin ng subjective affirmation through evidences in our graces. And finally, the testimony of the Spirit. Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. So merong panloob na patutuo ng banal na Espiritu. Kaya dito makikita natin yung katotohanan na pinagsama-sama yan. At ang babala ko ay any factor that is compromised will create imbalance and problem of assurance. Halimbawa, tanggalin mo ang gospel promises, matuto ka lang sa evidences, magiging self-focused ka. Lagi na lang yung ebidensya mo. At there is the danger of either deliberating doubt, self-paralyzing doubt, o kaya self-righteous confidence. And both are wrong. Pero kung puro ka lang sa faith in gospel promises, na wala sa evidence, it can become self-deceiving, na dinadaya ang sarili. Kaya mag-ingat tayo na ibalanse natin ang mga factors na yan. Pag-aaralan natin how they are to be applied in the next two lessons, but patuloy tayo na humihimok sa mga tao na dumating sa katiyakan na lang ng kanilang kaligtasan. Maaari itong marating sapagkat isang napakahalagang hinihiling natin, kung dumating ka na sa katiyakan ng iyong kaligtasan, ang hinihingi sa iyo ay sumunod sa Panginoon sa kanyang unang utos sa mananampalataya, ang magpabautismo at umanib sa kanyang iglesia. Yung huling ginawa nating baptismal forum ay nagkabunga naman. Mula nung ginawa natin yan, andiyan si Regine, si Eliza, ay mga sumunod sa tubig ng bautismo, and also Tricia. And makikita natin doon na may nangyari kapag pinag-isipan ang bagay na yan at ang hamon ko sa bawat isa na maaaring hindi pa dumarating sa desisyon ng bautismo. Ang tanong sa iyo ay, nakarating ka na ba sa katiyakan ng kaligtasan? Maari itong marating, at kung dumating ka sa katiyakan ng kaligtasan na nakabatay kay Jesucristo, sumunod ka sa tubig ng bautismo. Tayo mga mananampalataya, patuloy ang pakikibakang iyan na panatilihin natin ang kapuspusan ng katiyakan upang lumakad sa kabanalan. Any question? Any questions or thoughts for clarification? Any question? Any clarification or any thoughts of testimony? John or Josiah?
Pastor, pwedeng paki-explain pa ng konti yung difference between knowing and knowing that sa anong, in how it was used in the Bible.
Knowing is followed by the person, knowing God, knowing Christ, or knowing the gospel. Yun yung salvation. Knowing that is followed by a proposition. knowing that we shall be like him when he appears, knowing that we have the blessings of graces in the Spirit. So knowing is personal relationship, knowing God or knowing the gospel. Knowing that is a proposition, ito yung kasama ng salvation. Yun ang assurance. Kaya, let's say, knowing that I am already justified, that's assurance. Knowing that I have reconciliation with God, that is assurance. Yun ang nasa Romans 5, 1 and 2, that's assurance. But to be saved is to know God in Christ, to know the gospel of Christ. Yes, knowing is saving faith. Knowing that is assurance. O sa 1 John, ang ginagawa ay knowing and knowing that we know. Saving faith yung knowing that we know, is assurance. Myla.
Pastor, parang related dun sa question ko last week na yung mga bata na sa church na lumaki at doon nagkaroon ng knowledge. Sabi ko last week, may tendency sila na pag lumabas na ng church, for example, nag-work na, lumayo sa family, sa church, nagkakaroon sila ng maraming question. Ang tanong ko naman ngayon ay yung knowing tsaka knowing that. Nagkaka-problem ba talaga ng knowing that? Dahil the knowledge that they only have is ito lang narinig nila, kinalakihan. Unlike marami sa atin na iba yung alam natin before, and then na-challenge yun, and then we get to know the real gospel and the true God.
Yes, makikita natin yung magkaibang direksyon. Sa atin, ang mga first generation na believers, nang galing tayo sa kamalian at kinagisnan, at dumating tayo sa pangangaral ng katotohanan, so the truth challenged our error. And we came to believe. Sa mga lumaki sa iglesia, kabaligtaran ang sa kanila. Ang kinagastan nila ay katotohanan, pero nung lumabas sila, doon sila nahamon ng mga kamalian. And that's our hearts go out to them na talagang they can be shaken by the challenges out there na hindi nila kinagastan sa kanilang iglesia o sa kanilang pamilya. And as I said last Sunday rin, we need to be sympathetic to them, not to be contemptuous kapag sila'y nagtatanong, because these are real challenges. Gaya nga ng nasabi ko last Sunday, ang nangyari sa kanila, lumaki sila sa pagtuturo ng salita ng Diyos at ito ang kinagisnan nila ang katotohanan. Paglabas nila, I mean lumabas sila sa iglesia, sa naging part sila ng society as a whole, they encounter people who are decent, moral, virtuous, competent, and not Christians. And imagine the how challenging, and how that can shake one's formerly formidable faith or belief. Ngayon, nahahamon sila ng nasa paligid nila. And it takes real sympathy on the part of us believers to understand their situation. Go ahead, Myla.
Magbabalik ako ng konti, Pastor. Doon naman sa mga bata na andun na lahat ng knowledge pero they haven't gone out. And probably they would be going out soon. How should they think about these things? Nandun na yung knowledge pero yung knowing that ay parang napaka-hirap makuha. Would they take comfort na lalabas na lang muna ako para ma-challenge, and then kung makonvince ako, babalik ako, and then I will know that.
No, I will not advise that kung may magpapapayo sa akin ng ganun, because that is what you call presumption. Mapangahas, parang nanghahamon na gagawin ko muna ito bago. Kasi ang laging hamon ng salita ng Diyos ay kung alam mo na, ngayon na. Apply it now. So to people, and that includes young people who have come to know, and if you have come to know and have attained a certain level of assurance, then the first thing is get baptized. Become a part of the people of God, because nandiyan yung dynamic ng assuring one another. At merong papel, makikita natin next week, may papel or in the next 2 weeks, may papel ang iglesia sa pagpapanatili ng ating katiyakan. So ang Kristiyano na, o ang nagaangking Kristiyano na nagpakamakamundo, the point comes when his assurance will virtually mawawala. Kahit na maaring totoong Kristiyano siya, mawawala iyon kung hindi niya kasama mga kapwa mananampalataya. Rod, Wadi.
Nagkakasala ba yung isang Kristiyano kung talagang nagda-doubt siya doon sa salvation niya? At kung oo, how serious yung kasalanan niya?
Hindi nagkakasala kung totoong may duda pa siya sa kanyang angking pananampalataya, and what he needs is proper ministry. And in the last Sunday of this series, our lesson will be ministering to doubters. Maraming dahilan ng doubt, and the Puritans excelled in dealing with the doubts of believers. Tinawag nila yan na cases of conscience, technical term ay casuistry. Meron silang mga sagot sa mga ganyang doubt. So we don't consider it in itself sin. But if persisted upon despite clear promises of scriptures, there can be a point when doubt can be sinful. Pero when seriously and sincerely felt na nagda-doubt siya, he needs ministry, and the church should be a place where such ministry exists. Merong isang magandang book yan, I think it's Thomas Watson. I may be mistaken, but the title is Precious Remedies Against Satan's Devices. At sinagot niya doon ang bawat possible argument coming from doubt. Are there questions? Kung dati kang doubter at nakarating ka ng assurance, you may want to share your experience. Carol.
Pastor, gusto lang i-share as a parent. I know it is really difficult for a parent, especially kung faithful na or lumaki sa iglesia ang mga anak natin, because they would really, meron talagang knowledge. Sometimes even the child themselves are doubting na, ginagawa ko naman to, alam ko naman na ganun. But ang hirap, Pastor, and especially for us parents, baka magka-tendency na i-force or we keep on pushing the child na ma-save, tanggapin niya talaga si Christ. But ang ano pa rin, lalabas at lalabas kung hindi talaga save. So what we can only do as parents is really faithfully teach our children and follow up, then lagi rin kausapin about ano, because there can be a tendency, kagaya ng ano sinabi nyo kanina, na maaring may dala silang sariling katwiran, may dala silang sasabihin niya, eh sumusunod naman ako, alam ko naman yon. But pag ang hindi talaga kumilos ang banal na spirito sa puso ng mga anak natin, along their life, lalabas na hindi talaga sila ligtas. Kung kaya't napakahalaga na patuloy yung panalangin and then let God really produce in them to come out with their faith. But at the same time, we will keep on faithfully teaching them about the gospel.
Thank you, and that's a very important point. Alam ko sa parents, and I nurture the same desire for our children to be saved. Who would not want that to happen? And sometimes nagwo-worry ka na habang lumilipas ang panahon. And there is the tendency to force the issues, and that's the wrong approach. We cannot force the issue. This is a matter of sovereign grace, natutunan natin yan. But we need to continue to be faithful sa means, and that includes praying for them. And I've always said, they should hear you praying for them. Hindi lang na you're praying for them in secret, but in family prayer, you should be heard praying for their salvation. And of course, the continuous teaching, again, without pressure, but we commit it to the Lord. Pero kaya rin ang sinabi ko, yung isang dynamic yan, o dalawang dynamic ang kumikilos dyan, una is the challenge of the world na na-expose sila once they go out to the world. Ang ikalawa is also a reality disappointments in the church because they meet imperfect Christians in the church. And one way or the other, some faults will spill over sa kanila, madidisappoint sila, at siyempre dyan kikilos ang kaaway at bibigyan sila ng mga pag-aalinlangan. Tingnan mo yung mga sinasabing Kristiyano, ay ganyan ang kilos, ganyan ang nangyari at nadisappoint ka. At kagamitin yun para magkaroon sila ng pagdududa. Kaya pagsabayin mo yan, hamon ng mundo, disappointment with the church, because there are imperfections in the church and that can be a fatal combination. Kaya't mag-ingat tayo. Pero sa inyong mga kabataan, na maaaring nangyayari itong dalawang ito, nakikita mong mga bagay sa mundo, kahit walang Biblia, yet they are good enough people. And on the other hand, you may have disappointments in the church. Kahit na makita mo silang good people, they are not good according to the scriptures up on the standard of God. And even though they may be blessed still by God, the point of Ephesians 2:12 is they have no God at ang isinunod without hope. So without God, without hope, whatever they have, if they are without God in Christ, they are without hope. Kaya huwag ka masyadong ma-attract dun sa mga hamon ng mundo. On the other hand, disappointments in the imperfections of the church, it's a reality that we are still sinners, not yet sanctified fully. You will encounter those imperfections and you may have seen those imperfections. I am not one to cover them up because we are imperfect people and all that we confess is that Jesus Christ has saved us. We are struggling with sin as everybody else, but we want to please our Lord and Savior. Don't judge the Lord and Savior because of us, because of our imperfections. Judge the claims of the Lord and Savior on His own merits, not on our merits.
Pastor, I fully agree na hindi talaga dapat i-pressure, especially yung mga anak natin pagdating sa conversion. But would you consider it as a pressure kung if you ask them during the devotion na why and what are those things that prevent them from accepting Christ despite knowing fully already, especially sa church, narinig naman nila yung mga truths? Is that pressuring? Would you consider that?
I do that in the pulpit, but it's in an audience that is indiscriminate. I think in a family situation, it would be a lot more pointed kung tatanungin sila natin ang mga iyon. I would prefer, I think, that it comes from them, yung mag-volunteer sila ng kanilang saloobin. At kapag sinabi na nila na may mga tanong na sila, and that's when we take the opportunity. Pero yung pag almost every devotion ay sasabihin natin, anong pumipigil sa'yo na lumapit sa Panginoon? Eh baka dumating nga sa point na they can be forced into a kind of decision which we may regret later on. So I would prefer the soft approach minus the pressure. Ian.
Pastor, ano yung mga exercises that a Christian should undertake when he is experiencing yung times of doubting?
Well, we'll have more extensive answer to that in the fourth Sunday, pero just to, ang mga basic means of grace ay ang huwag nating kalilimutan when we are dealing with doubt. Of course, prayer and meditation and church life, these are the basic means of grace na kapag layuan natin, lalo tayong bibigay sa pag-aalinlangan. But a common source of doubt is besetting sin. And when we do struggle with besetting sin, at lagi tayong nadadaig ng ating besetting sin, dyan papasok ang pagdududa na manggagaling sa bulong ng kaaway, he will exploit that because he is called the accuser of our faith. So we'll deal with these sources of doubt. But I'm telling you now that a very fertile source of doubt is dealing with besetting sin. Marianne.
Pastor, ito po ay isa din pong para na rin siyang pressure, pero slightly lang po. Bali, kukunyari po, Pastor, yung parang mayroon ka ng parang something na parang pananakot na doon sa halimbawa sa mga teenagers or sa mga anak natin. Is it considered na rin po ba, Pastor, yun na pinipressure mo na siya or whatever, na ano na, halimbawa sabihin mo, kapag hindi mo natanggapin sa ganitong oras, hindi natin alam kung anong mangyari, what will happen to us, kung saan tayo naroroon, parang something ganun.
Well, gawin natin yung kung halimbawa nagde-devotion tayo, dumating tayo sa isang passage na may ganung exhortation, well, gamitin natin yung nasa passage and that is not pressure in and of itself. We're just using the passage. Pero kung every time na, yun nga, nagde-devotion kayo, andun yung either explicit or implicit na pananakot, that's pressure. And it will, as much as possible, we want to attract them to the beauty of the gospel, not to scare them into it. We don't want that approach. So huwag kang magde-devotion every Sunday na, anak, isang linggo na namang malapit ka na sa impyerno. Huwag yun. Huwag natin gawin yun. Gusto nating akitin sila sa kagandahan ng Ebanghelyo kay Kristo. Huwag yung takutin sila doon. Any last thoughts? Tita Beth.
Magtatanong lang po ako sa inyo kasi nung nagbabasa ako ng Biblia, may nabasa ako doon na kung tayo yung magdadrasal sa isang sulok lamang ng ating kwarto at ang dasal natin ay hindi paulit-ulit, yun ang sabi sa Bible. Ngayon ho, ako yung nagdadasal sa madaling araw, pero ang dinadasal ko, yung lagi kong panalangin sa Diyos na maligtas ang aking mga anak, maging kapayapaan sa buong mundo, yun ho ang dinadasal ko. Pero gabi-gabi, araw-araw, yun po ang dasal ko. Hindi ho ba ako nagkakasala ng ganun?
Eh, yung pong sinabi roong paulit-ulit ay yung formula na prayer na ginagawa ng mga pagano. Hindi ibig sabihin na may pinapanalangin kang paulit-ulit ay mali yun. Yung pinagbabawal na paulit-ulit ay yung formula, yung salitang ginawa na lang formula yung kasalanan, yung panalangin. On the other hand po, yung tinurong panalangin doon ng Panginoon na silang mga nasa silid dalanginan ay kinakausap ng kanilang ama, pinapakita roon na ang tumutukoy ito sa mga ligtas na, mga anak ng Diyos. Kaya ang pangunahin po na tiyakin natin, ito yung pinag-aaralan natin, ay ang katiyakan ng kaligtasan. Huwag nating sabihin na dahil dumadalangin ako, ligtas na ako. Yun ay pagdedepende sa kabutihang gawa. Hindi yun ang kaligtasan. Ang kaligtasan po ay pagtitiwala sa Panginoon na siya ang Panginoon na tagapagligtas sa kanyang ginawa sa krus. Kapag nangyari yun, yan ang ebidensya panalangin. Pero huwag nating baligtarin rin na dahil nananalangin ako, ligtas na ako.
Ay, hindi ho, Pastor. Ang tinatanong ko, yung araw-araw na ganun ang dasal ko.
Wala pong masama kung taimtim ninyong ipinapanalangin. Hindi yun ang paulit-ulit na pinagbawal ng Panginoon. Any more last thoughts? Liway.
Siyempre po, as Christians, di ba dapat, especially sa church, sometimes we should check up on our friends or about kung where their the state of their soul is right now. Ano po, paano po natin may distinguish yung from doubt and just excuses not to parang say na you're a Christian or ganun?
Karaniwan, yung mga excuses ay excuses na nakabatay sa wrong self-assurance. Nagka-excuse sila kapag sinabi nila na okay pa naman ako. So that's a statement of self-assurance even though they're not okay. So karaniwan na mag-excuse ay yung may wrong self-assurance. Yung magda-doubt, yung talagang doubt, ay may doubt siya sa kanyang sarili dahil sa ilang kadahilanan. Kasalanan o panlalamig, katabangan. Titingnan natin yung mga bagay na yun but differentiating between doubt and excuse, karaniwan excuse is based on self-assurance. Doubt is based on reasons for the person to doubt. Okay, meron pa? Papu?
May mga karanasan po ako ng mga nakita ko sa ibang mga iglesia na naging dahilan ng pagdududa ng mga ligtas na sa kanilang kaligtasan. Ay may mga nagkukulang po sa pag-aaral ng mga katuruan, lalo na sa assurance ng salvation, na pag may mga na-encounter silang naniniwala na nawawala ang kaligtasan at nagpapakita ng text proof, doon na nagkakaroon ng duda sa kanilang kaligtasan.
Oh, false teaching is one source of doubt. Kapag may na-imbibe silang false teaching gaya ng loss of salvation at na-absorb nila yon, magiging source of doubt yan. Isa yan sa mga sources of doubt na pag-aaralan natin. Kaya mag-ingat tayo sa mga naririnig nating turo, lalo't sa usapin ng kaligtasan o katiyakan ng kaligtasan. Ang usual na kamalian ay hindi outright heresy, but more sa nakita natin kanina, imbalance. Kapag merong imbalance dun sa dynamics of assurance, there will be a problem. And that's where we need to be very careful. Okay, meron pa? Well, in the next two Sundays, titingnan natin yung application itong mga dynamics na pinag-aralan natin and how they apply to issues like presumption is one problem, and then the other problem, as we have been saying now, is doubt. So those are the two problems to which the biblical doctrine of assurance has very important answers to the presumptuous and to the doubter. Let us close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos at mabuting Ama, nagpapasalamat kami sa mga natutunan namin ngayon sa usapin ng katiyakan ng kaligtasan. And from what we have learned last Sunday concerning uncertainty, we thank you that there is such a thing as the certainty of believing. At nawa ngay makarating kami sa tunay na pagtuturo ng iyong salita ukol sa usapin ng katiyakan ng kaligtasan. At nagpapasalamat kami na nakatindig ito hindi sa kung sino kami, hindi sa kung ano ang aming nararamdaman o aming mga nararanasan sa iba't ibang pangyayari. Nakatindig ang aming katiyakan sa ginawa ng Panginoong Hesukristo. The cross has absorbed upon itself the full wrath and judgment of the last day. And Jesus took them all on behalf of those who will be united to Him in faith. At sana, Panginoon, magbunga ito ng tunay na katiyakan para sa amin na anuman ang kahatulan na nararapat para sa amin bilang mga makasalanan ay inangkin ng aming Panginoong Hesukristo. At ito nawa ang tindigan ng aming katiyakan at mula rin dito ay maiangkop namin ito sa mga pangako ng Ebanghelyo, sa mga ebidensya sa aming buhay at sa patotoo ng banal na Espiritu sa aming Espiritu. And as we try to apply this to the two major problems of assurance concerning presumption and that of doubting, give us the wisdom to apply these dynamics so that we may have that assurance which is biblically balanced and one that would truly be helpful to our own growth and sanctification. Help us both in our own growth of assurance and in our ministry to one another that we may support each other's assurance. At nawa ang lahat ng ito ay mauwi sa iyong ikapupuri at sa aming ikababanal sa pangalan ng Panginoong Hesukristo. Amen.